Father, we thank you for the move of your spirit. We're grateful. The work of your word in our lives, in our church. We thank you for the increase that you bring to us, even by your word, the instructions therein, and by your spirit, move of the same. We ask this morning in every heart that will receive the light of your word, we will understand, come to a greater acknowledgement, pile it up together in our minds, the fruit of your word, regarding that which you've called us to do, that common assembly, that common assignment that we all have, that ministry you called us to function in, even in discipleship. We ask this morning, by your word, that every heart will be open to see. And as we see, questions in our hearts will be answered. Glory to the minister. And as that happens in our heart, we'll have naughty areas straightened out, while we have light shed upon every gray areas in the heart. Questions will be answered. Questions will be answered. Questions will be answered. Questions will be answered. We ask that together as a church, as we see your word, we will see Jesus. We will see ourselves as Jesus' name. We will all be edified as your name is glorified. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, Matthew's gospel is our text again this morning. Thank you. Hallelujah. Matthew 28. So we're looking at Christian discipleship. Hallelujah. Like I said, it's an annual teaching. Amen. Should I switch? All right. Thank you. Amen. All right. So it's an annual teaching. I said, looking at this yearly, year in, year out. And I kind of already have my emphasis, and I just moved it to coming series. Like I said, we'll be looking at the subject of accountability. Are we together? We'll be looking at the subject of, because many times, and this is one of the fruits of teaching. Sometimes you know something. Are we together? But teaching, we are able to present it from God's word, from the scriptures. Someone say, why then do I need to be taught this, you know, as diligently or as detailedly or as exhaustively as we will or we can? Are we together? Why do we need to, for example, I already know I need to pray. It is not enough. Are we together? You have to know that you need to pray according to the scriptures. Like I told you, you know, the greatest challenge or of knowledge is assumption. And I've said this severally to us. I think I've had that conversation more with the workers. Are we together? Good number, I know here this morning. Fine. So, I said that, look at this. If you have been, look at me, just look at me, all right. So, if you have been told, are we together? To learn from me. Are we together? If you've been told to learn from me, I might kind of understand if I come close to you and while interacting with you, I observe that you have assumed some things. Are we together? Now, not because assumption is fine, amen, but because it's my duty to teach you. Are we together? So I ask me, okay, you have assumed on this, you have assumed on this, you have assumed on that. I just say, maybe I'll just correct you. You say, no, what you are thinking is wrong. But you don't expect me to really take it too bad. Are we together? Why? Because it's my work to come and what? Clear you out. So, because it's my duty to ensure you are grounded, while assumption is wrong, are we together? It might not really be an issue at that point. Are we together? But look at this. Assumption becomes terrible when it is now on my own side that should communicate the training. So when you are the one communicating the training, then assumption should be zero level. So the one who trains cannot afford to what? Assume. So while assumptions might be found, are we together? It doesn't mean it is right. But it means that it should not even be found. Are we together? With the one who is called to what? To teach, groom, and coming back into our current story, to what? Disciple. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So one of the things that teaching does
is that teaching clears assumption. So I can't assume that a new believer already knows why he should pray. Why he should pray. Or how he should pray. Or she.
Amen.
Not all disciples are men. Are we together? Why
should he
pray? I do that a disciple already knows why he should give. He should give. Amen. Amen. I don't assume that a disciple already knows why he should attend every service. I think we'll be having such emphasis, right? Right?
I've been teaching on
that for the past, I think in my life, I've been teaching on that for the past 15 years. I've been teaching on that. In this church, I've been teaching for the past 7 years or 8. Amen. See that? All meetings. Someone say all meetings. Are we together? Are we together? Or what? He's not abnormal. Yeah. Must he be in every service? Must he be in every service? What did I mention on Thursday? I mentioned a kind of question on Thursday. What kind of question? I said stupid what? Stupid questions. And I told you those who ask stupid questions, right?
The meetings in the book of Acts were activities based on Matthew 28. Do you agree that? Right? So, the disciples sought to act on the instructions of Matthew 28. Now, not because Matthew 28 is distinct, but because Matthew 28 explains the Great Commission the way it has explained it. Mark just told us, and definitely, you know, he says, go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel. Are we together? Are we together? Go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Then he just says, he that is of that shall be saved, he that is not shall be what? Shall be damned. And he says, just go and preach. Go preach. Amen.
Amen.
But look at Matthew says, go and do what? Make men disciples. So we said Matthew used words that described the mission more. He used words. There's something about choice of words. Are we together? There's something about what? Choice of words. Yeah. So Matthew uses a word that describes the mission in a more understandable fashion. So, you know, Mark just says, go preach. Go preach to every creature. Go preach to every creature. Amen. No. Go preach to every creature. Are we together? Go preach. Let's go preach. Go and preach. Go and preach. How did John put it? John. I think John is even more technical. Are we together? John just says, to ever since you were in. And they leave you to wonder. Do I have the power to forgive sins? And the pastor will say, I will not forgive your sins. Amen. Yes. Or your pastor says, your sins are not forgiven. He doesn't have such rights. Amen. He doesn't have such rights. That's not what it means. I'll pray to God so he can forgive you. He doesn't have such rights. Jesus is the high priest. Hallelujah. So, John just says that. What does Luke say? Repentance and remission of sins, right? Right? Should be what? Preached. So, says that. So, Mark just said what? Go what? Preach the gospel. But if you look at, what's his name? Matthew, right? So, Matthew says, go and make what? Disciples. Praise God. So, he explains the Great Commission to us. That Great Commission is to make disciples. So that's what I trust that we're going to look at very briefly. Amen. So we said that the very first thing you see is if the book of Acts is built on the instructions. Now, look at this. the instructions, amen, we also carry a pattern of Jesus' activities himself. So Jesus has done something, then he tells them to do something like what he has done. Amen. So in carrying out Jesus' instruction after the resurrection, look at this. The only thing that will change after the resurrection is that the message they are preaching will now be expanded. But the mode of ministry will not change. Are you with me? The mode of ministry will not change after the resurrection, but the syllabus, the message they preach, will contain some facts that it did not contain, or it will contain some facts in a way it did not contain it before the what? The resurrection. For example, the message of the gospel after the resurrection is what we saw in Acts 2 and Acts 3. And a major thing Peter preached is that this Jesus whom you crucified, he says God has raised him up. So the resurrection will now be a past event. Are we together? Now it's a present day reality, but as per event, amen, it will be a past event. And that part was not present in the message that was being preached before Jesus rose from the dead. Are we together? Did Jesus imply the resurrection? Yes. But was the message that I have risen? No. Are we together? So do you understand what I'm saying? So the mode of ministry, if Jesus rises from the dead and then tells them, go and make disciples, while the content of the teaching will be expanded because recent events are taking place. So while the syllabus, the content, the message, the information, the emphasis of the message, while it would be expanded, the modes of ministry, are we together, need not necessarily be expanded. Is it clear? So as they will have a more robust explanation, the activities they are carrying out is already spelled out, so that the resurrection did not innovate a new activity. Are you with me? So there is no special ministerial activity that came after the resurrection, so that you don't sit down and say, today, since we're in resurrection, we can innovate. No, you can't innovate. The activities to be carried out, the mode and the methods of ministry to be carried out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ has already been spelled out. So by the time we look at the book of Acts, you'll see it very clearly. So I was trying to argue with them. They said, no, just look at it again. You'll see it very clearly. You observe in the book of Acts that they did no new thing. There was nothing new that they did in the book of Acts. Their activities were simply replaying. Are we together? Or copying. Ensure you use that word in your notes. Copying. Replaying. Or copying what Jesus had done with them. Are we together? Someone was trying to point me to some difference. No, there's no difference. What you are seeing as a difference is not a difference. In the book of Acts, the apostles had challenges that we did not read in the four gospels. Is it clear? So they simply had challenges, and obviously they devised methods of resolving the challenges. Are we together? But look at this. Inasmuch as they devised methods of resolving their challenges, it was not an innovation of a new mode of ministry. To show you what I've said earlier on, weeks ago, that the things we carry out, the instructions, the mode and the method of Christ's ministry are already spelled out. So we say that Christianity is an apostolic, an orthodox faith, apostolic faith. Amen. So we also said that in Matthew 28, for example, when it says go and make disciples, amen. Okay, I've not finished the other thought, because I'll do that before looking to my notes. So can we say again that the book of Acts is them carrying out what is in the four gospels? Is the message in the four gospels? Their message, the theme of their message, is in the four gospels. Yes. Are we together? Look at me, everybody. Will they preach it slightly different in the book of Acts? Is that no? Because they are not paying attention. Are there facts that will come out after the resurrection that it didn't come out like that before resurrection? But is the message the same? Yes. Before resurrection, you can't say Christ is risen. Are we together? So I'm not saying it's a message different. Yeah, it's not different. Are we together? But I said maybe what is said can now be much more precise. Are we together? Can be expanded. Are we together? Okay, so look at it. In the four gospels, you can't even take the gospel. And I'm going to show you why. Jesus will ask them to preach to the lordship of Israel. Amen. Because there was something in the four gospels before the resurrection that made Jesus to carry out his ministry the way he did. Are we together? In the book of Acts, it was so clear. It was so clear that Peter had to now be rebuked because of the consistent notion. That was Acts 10. Why? Because not only him, but he had also trained people. All through Acts 6, Acts 7, Acts 8, when there was persecution, in Acts 9 there was persecution. Are we together? Stephen had been killed by Acts 7, right? Then by Acts, 9, Saul was still consenting to death. Are we together? And then you observe that the disciples in Acts 7 and the disciples in Acts 9 were all from Jerusalem, and even though they had scattered, they didn't take the gospel to non-Jews. Are we together? I'll leave that for another day. Are you with me? So the mode of their ministry in the book of Acts is what we already see in the four gospels. What I mean by that is this: the apostles in the book of Acts were acting out the pattern given to them by Jesus. Amen. I said amen. So if we look into the book of Acts, we might not see some things in the four gospels. Or we might see them hints of it. We can see hints in the four gospels, but we might not see it so much elaborately enough for us to teach it as a custom. But if we look into the book of Acts and we understand that the book of Acts is the apostles acting out Jesus' instructions and pattern, then we will be able to harmonize those two sections of books, the book of Acts and the four gospels. Are we together? So some things you might not see written out as an instruction, a pattern, a command in the four gospels, but by the time you look at what the apostles were doing in the book of Acts, especially in the mode of ministry, you will see that, oh, this must have been what Jesus had what trained them to do. Are we together? Now let me bring it home. My focus is on meetings. You will observe, just like we have said, that in Matthew 28, it says to go and make what? Disciples, right? Right? So we said that you observe that the instruction to make disciples is a corporate instruction. That's where I'm going. Everything I'm saying is for this. It's a corporate instruction. Nobody had received a singular instruction, a personal instruction. Now, there's nothing wrong in personalizing what is corporately given. Is it clear? Because that's where we are going. You cannot be involved purposefully. You can't be a missionary regarding what is corporately given if you have not personalized it. And this is true in every field, including the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, but look at this. The instruction to go and make disciples was not directed to any particular believer. The instruction is given corporately. Are we there? Are we there? So when we talk about teaching meetings, that means, I remember I said this about two or three Sundays ago, that the things that makes us strong disciples are the things that what we do together. Amen. And what we now do in our personal life with those what things. The information that makes us strong Christians, teaching meetings, right? The information that makes us strong Christians are information that we hear together. It is not enough to hear it alone. Amen? Amen? You know, we've seen the use of youth in the epistles, right? As a corporate word. It describes a body, a people. A people. So, the instructions to pray. Amen? Don't forget I showed you from Ephesians 6, right? On Sunday. We saw Ephesians 6, and then we saw in verse 18. And I made you to see, because there's a way you can just say, pray for me in verse 19. Oh, I'm praying for pastor. That's fine. But look at this. The instruction is that the church should pray for Paul. When it says, pray for me, it's not an individual instruction. Though you can personalize it, but the instruction is given to the entire assembly. And I told you something. I said, the moment instruction is given to an entire assembly, we now have the liberty, are we together, to build a structure around that what? Instruction. Amen. So since evangelism is a corporate instruction, we can build a structure around what? Evangelism. Are we together? Are we together? Since teaching service, or teaching meetings rather, is a corporate instruction, a local assembly then builds a structure around it. Are you with me? Are you with me? Since prayer is a corporate instruction, a local assembly is expected to do what? To build a structure. So one of those structures is that we can now have a prayer group. So when it says pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, are we together? In Romans 12 and 11, are we together? It says to be fervent in spirit. Then in 12, it now says to continue instant in prayers. It's a corporate instruction. That means we are to pray together. Someone say pray together. So if it's a corporate instruction, look at me. If it's a corporate instruction, that means we are to pray together, right? That requires a structure. So the local assembly operates through what? Structures. Is it clear? Why? Because we are supposed to do those things what? Together. Someone say together. Someone say together. Say together. So we are expected to do it together. The instructions to reach the nations is what? A corporate instruction. Go ye therefore and make disciples was not directed to a particular believer. Jesus gave a corporate assignment. So we have a mission we all share in common. We all don't have our professions in common. Are we together? Are we together? We all don't have our families in common. Not all are married. Not all have children. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? We all don't have our geographic location in common. We all don't have our profession in common. Amen. But look at this. We have an assignment in what? In common. That means that assignment is not marital. Is it clear? Is it clear? That means that assignment is not professional. Career. Is it clear? Is it clear? That means that assignment is not, it can influence those areas, But that means our assignment is not in raising children. Is it clear? Is it clear? Our assignment is in that mission, reaching the lost. Is it clear? We have that one in common. You have it in common. You have that one in common. Is it clear? Our business are not the same. We have professions are not the same. You can even have two people in church and their professions are contrary to each other. Are we together? Are we together? Contrary. If that one succeeds, you will not be able to sell what you are selling. I don't know what you are selling. Are we together? Are we together? I mean, if that one takes care of his patients and they always survive, you don't need your own service. Amen. Amen. So we don't have those things in common. But we have a common profession. I like a teaching I listened to years ago. That teaching, that profession is our common sense. Yes, common sense. Our common sense. That means the sense that we all have in common. It's our common sense. Our common sense. The believer's common sense. And we are teaching the same ministry that we have. The work of the ministry. Someone say corporate instructions. So I'm back to that. I talk about meetings. I'll switch into other things. Corporate instructions. The instruction to evangelize is what? Corporate. What does corporate mean? We are supposed to do it what? Together. I will have a personal approach to it, amen? But we are expected to do it what? Together. The moment we are needed to do it together, a structure needs to what? Come in place. A structure of where, when, who, why, how. Why do we have to communicate where? It is because it is no more what? One person. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? So, look at me. Look at me. Despising the Lord, his mission starts from disregarding the corporate structure. That corporateness, the more you honor that structure, is the more you honor the Lord. Is it clear? Is the more you are involved in his work, is the more you honor the work. The more I honor the Lord is reflected in how I handle that structure. That is why one of the first signs of spiritual development is that the Christian is in every what? Meetings of a local church. Did I just say every meeting? Yes, I meant every meeting. Every meeting. Are we there? Are we there? Am I in the wrong church this morning? Are we there? All right. Honor the corporate structure. See, I honor the body. See, I value the body. Are you with me? Are you with me? See, I value the body. I honor that body. So, you are not expected to be alone. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? To be alone. You are not expected to be alone praying. Now, I'm not talking about personal prayer. I'm saying to pray detached from a corporate structure. Praying detached. Evangelizing detached. Are you with me? Are you with me? Learning the word, what? Detached. Remote. Lone ranging. Lone ranging. A lone ranger.
What's another name for it? Another word for it.
One man mission.
No.
Alone.
Yeah, this kid said this thing. He's using me and God though. No.
Praise God. The things that makes us strong Christians are the things which we do what? Together. Praise God. The things we do together. The things we do together. So we build this. Since we have to do it together, there's a need for a structure. In the structure, you have the time of it. So when we say prayer is 1 p.m., are we together? Are we together? Join them. Amen. Did we see 1 p.m. in Acts? Acts 3 was 1 p.m. He was going to pray, Peter, at the hour of prayer. And he was not going alone. He was going with John. So that means it was a prayer meeting they were going to. And they were going to the temple. So look at that. Temple. So he goes with John to the temple to pray. So those are examples of the structures, the place of prayer. So you can say, since prayer is 5:30 to 7:30 on Monday evening, don't worry, let the cell be praying. Me, I will be in the spirit, though in my room, I'm also joining the prayer. No, you are not in that prayer. Because the structure is that there is a prayer place. Me, I can't be in the middle, but I can be speaking in tongues for the space of 2 hours from 5:30 to 7:30, and I will be, sir, please, can you send me the prayer focus so I can be praying it here? No. Are we together? If you are in a distant location and you are sent the prayer focus, are we together? That the church is praying, or that that prayer group is praying at that moment, it is because the leader there are certified that you are in one accord there. So the only reason why you are part of that meeting is because the leader has pulled you in. Are we together? Because of what? Motive, oversight, and instruction. But the moment it is you that chose to disconnect yourself and do your activity remotely without oversight, without being informed, are we together? Without being instructed, you have not done that activity corporately. Are we together? Because you see an instruction, someone's coming to say, what about elder and murder? Oh, right, yeah. The entire Bible, elder and murder, do we? Then they were outside the camp. And I had to show him that they were in the meeting. Say, I didn't see it before. How can you see it? With this your ego. I go and get glasses. I didn't see it before. Yeah, you see. They were serving in the temple. Amen. One accord. Someone say one accord. So does one accord include your location? In there. So corporate instructions. That's what we said last week. They were corporate instructions. Corporate instructions. Look at me. In Romans 12, did we see given to hospitality also? Is that a corporate instruction? So given to hospitality is not brother so and so, sister so and so, that brother is exemplar. If you visit that brother, he will take care of you. If you visit that sister, he will cook for you. That sister is given to hospitality. Given to hospitality was an instruction given to a church. The entire assembly should be given to hospitality. The entire assembly. Are we together? I even feel like, as I said it now, you still didn't get it. When I say the entire assembly given to hospitality, I'm not saying that train all the members of your church to be given to hospitality. That's what I said, because that's what you had. I'm not saying that train every member of your church to be given to hospitality. I'm saying that the hospitality, the local assembly, is the one doing it. So the church is involved in hospitality. That's why in the book of Acts, they will sell the things, bring it to the apostles' feet. It is the church. So when he says given to hospitality, he's not saying let the saints be given to us. No. The whole church carry out hospitality as a ministry, as a church. Do it. Did you get what I'm saying? Now, does it remove
us having a personal approach to it?
No, but we are saying that that entire church. Now, that means that hospitality would include what? Other people. Does that bring in a structure? So how does a local church have such structure? A very good example is the welfare system of the church. Are we together? Do you get what I'm saying? The welfare of the church. Don't worry, I'll bring this up there back to us. By that, we'll get into local church again for the coming year. Amen. Are we together? So, structures in the church is the way to carry out the mission of God. That is how we are able to carry out, because the instructions are to be carried out what? Corporately. And in order to carry it out corporately, there is a need for what we call what? Structures. Structures as simple as, this is how we all should do it. This is when we all should do it. So, an entire local assembly. A local assembly does not leave its members to fend for each themselves. Are we together? Are we together? The local assembly ensures that there is a care system within the church. Is that what we had about 4 Sundays ago? I think Pastor Shewa taught us on the power to get wealth, right? I told you, that was simply the welfare structure amongst Israel. Simple. The path to get where Deuteronomy 8 was the instruction of the Lord for them to walk in love and have a welfare system amongst them. A welfare system amongst them. So the church can have what? A welfare what? System. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? In the welfare system, people can be relieved. People can be helped. And look at me. Look at me. Look at me. This is part of the welfare system. Look at me. Look at me. This is part of the welfare system. Part of the welfare system is that where you are working, are you listening to me now? Where you are working, there is a window for a particular staff. And then you bring the information to the church. In the book of Acts, what they shared was material things. Are we together? Today, a significance of that could also be information. Information. Maybe you are not qualified, or maybe it's not your department. Maybe it's in the accounting department of your organization. And that's why in the church, there will also be something such as information booth. Are we together? Are we together? Information. There will be an office in the church. I didn't say a building where we are putting information. I mean a person. And that's his work. So information comes to that fellow. So that maybe what is needed now is not somebody needing some school fees. Maybe what is needed is not this person needs some half bag of this and this and this just to relieve that family. Maybe what is needed is this person needs a means of livelihood. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Opportunities, information. And there is order. So you don't just walk to the person and say, I have this in my office. No. There's a person it goes to. Like I told you, there's a reason why resources went to the apostles' feet. Because the apostles were the oversight. Oversight means he sees more than you. Are you with me? An overseer means that person sees more than you. So sometimes the person you are judging to have need, there might just be somebody who has a more what? Dire need. Is it clear? And you have not really, really helped by just meeting this person's need. You have really, really helped when we have met the person whose need is what? Most urgent. And that is only the oversight that we know. So you inform. You inform. So information could just be part of our welfare system. Are we together? So given to hospitality is saying that the church should have a structure that provides in the best way it can for the needs. It could be for the sick. It could be for the less privileged. Are we together? Are we together? And we are more privileged than one another in different areas. Praise God for evermore.
So, did you get that text given to hospitality? So it's a corporate. I told you, the moment you see yourself in a single text, you might have lost the bigger meaning. It's not about you. It's a people. Some say people. It's a people. The instruction is for a people. It's a corporate instruction given to hospitality. A corporate instruction. A corporate instruction. Yes, individuals in the church will be, they will catch the spirit. Are we together? And be hospitable in their own private lives, also personal lives. But he's saying the assembly should have a structure. So that means when you are giving your offerings in church, think about the what? The structure. You think about that structure. Do we have that structure in church? Do we? Yes. You have been in this church for a while. You know that. Oh, we have a very solid one. And we are improving on it every day. Are we together? You know. Are we together? So, when you are having a resource, you think of the what? The structure. Concerning prayers, you think of what? You are part. So that means, look at me. Look at me, everybody. In church, in a serious local church that know what they are doing, you are part of what? Many structures. Many structures. You are part of a welfare structure. I did not say that you are a member of the welfare team. Are we together? But you are part of the welfare structure. Because it's a corporate instruction. You are part of structures. Structures. Someone says structures. You're part of structures. You're part of structures. A prayer structure. A prayer structure. You're part of a prayer structure. So Ephesians 6:18 is a what? Is a what? Is a what? Look into that text again. Look into that text. Ephesians 6:18 is a prayer structure. Don't be deceived by one line. I told you it's a letter. Don't be deceived by a letter. It's a letter. Don't be deceived by one line. Don't be deceived by a single line given to hospitality. A single line. Stop. I told you, you don't get what the text are talking about by reading what? By reading what? The mere words that are used. You have to study the narrative. You look at the entire narrative. If you don't look at the narrative, you will not see that Paul is talking about structures. Are you with me? And let me tell you, any strong thing today is because it has structures. You will not even have gone far in your biology if you have not understood what they taught you about structures. Are you with me? Yes. You will not have passed your basic biology. Do you agree with me? You will not even have passed your basic agriculture in school. You will not have passed it. You will not have passed your basic science. Talk less of going to senior secondary school to do chemistry. Who are you to do chemistry? You had to pass structure. Structure. Even mathematics. Are we together? You see, it's a structure. It's a structure. A complex structure. So every member of the Church of Jesus Christ, the plan of God is that after a while, you will become a part of a complex structure in the church. Are we together? That means the entire church can rest upon you on many sides. Are we together? And you're already building the kingdom of God that way. So he has plans for you. And part of those plans is what? The structure. So when you see a local church that knows what it's doing, it has structures. And the structures are for you. To strengthen you. To help you to walk in the grace of God. To help you to be productive. To build you. To strengthen you. To cause you to have great wisdom. by leading you in the path of many experiences. Because these structures will give you many experiences. Having had many experiences in a very good environment, you become wise. And a sign of wisdom, or a fruit of wisdom, is that we can now depend on you for progress. Praise God forevermore. So look at the text you opened in Ephesians 6. Before I go into my note this morning. Ephesians 6. What did he say? 18. Praying always, with all what? Prayer and supplication for the what? You know, if you just go into that text, look at me. Look at me, everybody. If all you did was that, you just go into that text, you will think it's just about what? Open your mouth. And then says, I fulfilled the text. Oh. Look at verse 10. The paragraph is verse 10. What did he say? So the instruction is to who? A people. Be what? So the instruction to be strong is a people. That means being strong again has to do with structure. So Christianity is not practiced in isolation. You get it? You get it? You will not go far. You will not be a strong Christian. Now let me show you something in that same text. Verse 10. Read verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be what? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the what? The armor of God. So look at this. I told you something. When he says put on the armor of God, is that a singular instruction or corporate instruction? You know, there used to be this book I used to read sometime, a very long time ago. It was my dad that brought the book home. It's called Christian Women Mirror by the Deeper Life Christian Ministries. A very excellent material. But there's one page of that book that they will now draw a Christian that is fully armed. Those olden day soldiers, you know, have the helmets, have the breastplate, have the arm shield with the sword and the shield. And as beautiful as that is, but that is not what Paul said. Did you observe that the armor is talking about here is not just one, but corporately one? I didn't say gbogbo wa la ma ni. Is it clear? Because what you are hearing is gbogbo wa la ma ni. I don't say gbogbo wa la ma ni. I say gbogbo wa la ma shikini. La ma wo. The armor is meant for a people. Is it clear? Because you have isolated yourself a lot. It is one is together. I didn't say all of us, we have our own copy of the armor. I said the armor is one together. Hey! See how you are not getting me this morning? Because you have seen yourself. So, isn't it about prayer meeting? I'm fine. Missing something. We are wearing it what? Yeah. How can I help you understand this one? Wait, does anybody know anything that two people have to wear it together? Is there anything like that that two people have to wear it together? Wow. So because it's even difficult to think of one thing that two people have to wear together, you see how it has painted our understanding of scriptures. That's the culture. Is there anything that two people have to wear together before they can? A Chinese costume, right? Dragon costume. Yeah, something like that. Have you seen the Chinese dragon costume? Thank you very much. Have you seen the Chinese dragon costume before? People have not seen it. They have only seen Anikulapo. You have not seen the Chinese dragon costume before. You have seen it. Are we together? But it's a kind of costume that different people, right? So, you know, one person can't wear the costume and perform. Different people have to wear it. Sometimes like 5, 6 people. 20. Really? Really? 20. 100 people. Wow, that's big. That's a large costume. Now imagine that kind of costume and 100 people are wearing it. Are we together? So every part of that costume will what? Will function, right? Including the eyes. So the dragon can roll his eyes. Maybe it's because five people are wearing it that the eyes are just dull. Do you get it? Maybe the dragon costume, the tail is not working because only 16 are available. The remaining 60 something people on the team, they are not what? They are not there. One has said, I just did this, I need to go and do this. One has said, I just had a business, I need to go and do this. The other one has said, are we together? So he says, put on the armor of God. Because it's an illustration. Paul is illustrating. It's a parable. But he was referring to a corporate armor. Now don't forget, in all this I'm not saying you don't personalize it. Are we together? There's a way you can personalize it. But I'm saying it's a corporate thing. A corporate thing. A corporate thing. Now read that text on. Read it on. Read on. Uh-huh. Can you take that line again? For we what? Take it again. Want to go? Now, did you observe something? Did you observe that what you are wrestling against itself is corporate? Did you see that? Did you see that? That what you are wrestling against itself is what? It's corporate. It's multiple. So it takes the body of the saints. Is it clear? Is it clear? It takes the body. Someone say the body. It takes the church. So it's not you, but church praying. So it's not enough to be alone all my life, and all I just do about my prayer life is I just pray alone in the room. You are not committed to an assembly. Are we together? You are not committed to that. Committed. You are not plugged up to a structure. Someone say structure. Someone say structure. That's it. It is structures that answers to the challenges that Christians face. It is structures that fulfills the mission of God on the earth. And the major part in that structure is a people. Your people. Someone say my people. That's it. So when Peter was threatened in Acts 4, where did he go to? Where did he go to? And Peter went back, and then he went alone, and then he started praying and laboring because of the persecution and the threatening of the elders. Is that what the book of Acts says? No. He says they went back to their own company, and the entire church lifted up what? Their voices. Then the place was what? Shaking to them. When you pray alone, it's only you that shakes. Are we together? It's only you that will shake. Amen. Look at me. That is why after you have prayed, he say, oh yeah, go. You are there again. He say, come. Jajogba. Are you with me? Jajogini. Kajogba. You come. Let four of us. Let's do 6 hours. 4, 8, 10. Are we together? 20. Let 100 of us do 6 hours. Let 50 of us do 12 hours. Let 1,000 of us do 30 hours. Hey! Are we together? That one is called armor of God. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? So you see how the churches have the results that we will not have today. Except we do that. They did this what? Corporately. Go to the book of Acts. And you will see how they were doing everything what? Corporately, 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 corporately. Because the things that makes us strong Christians are done what? Together. Praise God forevermore. So when I get a new believer saved, what is my first labor over him? To ensure that he's established in the what? In the company. Established in the company. Look at it. Why will Jesus call the saints his flock? It means God does not expect that any Christian will be in isolation, because believers don't survive in isolation. What did I say? Believers do not survive in what? In isolation. What makes us strong Christians is what? Done together. Someone say together. So our meetings are vital to us as our salvation. Our meetings are vital. Salvation brings us, the new birth brings us into the family. Are we together? The meetings establishes us in the family. So it is not this or that. Will I go to hell if I don't have a church? That's another what? That's a foolish question. And I told you about foolish questions. Don't answer them. Don't answer foolish questions. Amen? It's not this or that. It's not this versus that, rather. It's not this versus that. The new birth brings you into the family of God, supernatural, spiritual. Being in the local church establishes you in the plans and purposes of God for your life. Because in that local church, there will be what? Structures. So, look at yourself this morning. How deep are you in the structure of your church? How deep are you? How deeply are you? And evaluate it. How deeply do you want to be? Because the first is fruitless without the second. Praise God. So prayer is a what? Structure. So we don't just talk about the prayer life. We also talk about the prayer life of a church. Not just the prayer life of an individual. Structure. Someone says structure. Meeting days is part of the structure. Meeting place is part of the structure. The meeting time is part of the structure. You don't despise the structure by coming late, being absent, absconding, leaving too early, untold, uninformed. You just dash out. No. Miss it. No. You are running late. You honor it by sending what? Information. Are we together? Even after sending information, you are still ensuring you are fighting. I send information, then you can relax. No. I haven't sent information that I'm likely to come late because of this and this and this. So you are still fighting to get there. So that leader say, you already said you were coming late. You came late again. The leader, this one is reliable. Not the one that says, I will come late, and then did not show up. You already say, come late now. Yeah, so, but when I finished the thing, it was already almost end of the meeting. So I just went to. That's not very good. Praise God. Structure. Someone says structures. Someone says structures. Do you understand it? So the local church structure. The structure includes the leadership, the membership, the workforce structure. They are just structures. It's a plan. An architecture devised by the Spirit of God. Obviously, it has to be scriptural. It has to be scriptural. It has to be scriptural. It has to be so scriptural. It has to be scriptural. It can't be based on nuances, emotions, belief system, strange doctrines, and beliefs. No, it has to be scriptural. Such structures we enjoy consistent review. The structures can be reviewed. If the structure is created to serve the people, then we can review it to further serve. Are we together? Are we together? For example, maybe for some time, the people the structure were serving were just students of university, and after a while, you have now had other people, you know, who are non-students, workers, maybe even aged people. Then the structure is what? Review to accommodate the assembly. Why? Because it is for a people. The instruction is what should be carried out amongst the people. Amongst the people. So coming into a local church is being into a structure. When you are taught to pray alone in your house, maybe that's what we are doing that evening or that morning. Everyone find a solitary place and pray. Get a field near to your house or find a place within your company, your organization. Find a spot, maybe use your coffee break or lunch break time to pray. It is still what? A structure. It is still a structure. So the prayer meet, the teaching meetings, we have a structure around it. A structure around it. When you are in the structure, you will be aware of the dynamics of it. Are we together? Are we together? That's why we don't need a flyer to invite. Is it clear? Those we need flyers to invite. You know when we say, oh, tomorrow is Sunday, and then the media team and some people in the church, they put the church flyer on their WhatsApp. You know they are not trying to remind you. Right? Right? Pastor Shewa is not trying to remind me. Are we together? That Pastor, don't forget us. Are we together? He said Elizabeth is not trying to remind Sister Pelumi that don't forget that we have you have a media responsibility to us tomorrow. No. Are we together? Such publicity is for people that are not in the what? In the structure. Because to be in the local assembly as a disciple is to be in that what? Structure. Are you in the structure? Are you in the structure? Prayer meeting, the same thing. Corporate instructions. Teaching meetings. Healing meetings. So we spoke about the healing meeting last week. I'll talk more about the healing meeting and the other kind of meeting next week. Are we together? So let me switch into the second emphasis. So in Matthew 9, because I need to close now. In Matthew 9, look at something there. So the book of Acts, right? The book of Acts will express the trainings of the four gospels. Is that true? Is that true? Is that true? Now, when the epistles are also written, Romans to Revelation, when the epistles are also written, will they also express the book of Acts and the four gospels? So look at me. Don't let the fact that they were letters deceive you. Amen. Amen. If you start from the four gospels, there's a manner, there's a mode, there's a pattern of ministry. If you go into the four gospels, what is not clear in the book of Acts, what is not clear in the four gospels, becomes so obvious in the book of Acts. Are we together? So when you are reading the letters, even if it's a single line, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. Are we together? Even if it's a single line, are you with me? That you see in walk in love. Even if it's a single line that you see in the epistles, is to show you that this is a corporate word instruction from your knowledge of the book of Acts, which expresses what? It is corporate. So don't, because it's a letter, and then the nature of a letter, I already told you that. The fact that you are reading a letter is already a disadvantage. Are we together? Amen? So, but, yeah, it's a blessing to you, I mean, yeah. So, but, don't, because you are reading a letter, you now lose the salient or the sacred fact. It's a corporate instruction. So, I'd like you to go over your epistles. I think we have completed the Bible reading for the year, right? Yeah. So, I'd like you to go over the epistles again, and then read it with a corporate mindset. It will richly bless you. And one of the things that having the corporate mindset does is this. Look at this. I am not waiting for you to do it to me. That's it. I'm not waiting. I will do it. And you are not also waiting for me to do it for you. You also what? Do it. So there is beauty. There is beauty. It makes it beautiful. Because now you're not waiting for me to do it for you. That's me. You will walk in love. She will walk in love toward me. No. A unit member. And then say, and sister say, that's just, I'm sorry, but that's me. She will walk in love toward me. No. If you see it as a corporate instruction, you are to walk in love. He's to walk in love. She's to walk in love. So you are forward. He or she is also forward. It makes it all beautiful. I'll bring the subject back to us later under a different story. Matthew 9. So, in 38, 36, and 35, Jesus, he says, went about all cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease, sicknesses, and every disease among the people. Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. 36. Can we take it together? Once you go. When most of the multitudes was moving compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. 37-38, everyone wants to go. Then said unto the disciples, their harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He said unto his disciples, so this was a workers' meeting. Because now, did I mention workers' meeting to you earlier as another meeting of the local church? Yes, I will elaborate on it later. This was a workers' meeting. Now, obviously, the workers' meeting is very special. In a workers' meeting, informations are communicated that not all will have the privilege to. And it is not because we are being secretive. Are we together? It is simply because in those kind of meetings, we are addressing mission-minded people. The reason why somebody is being addressed at that particular moment is because that person is involved in the mission in a very special way that others that are not in that kind of meeting are not involved. Are we together? Are we together? So we see different workers' meetings that Jesus had disciples. I told you that the John 14, 15, 16 is a workers' meeting. You already see from the end of John 13. That was a workers' meeting. He told his disciples. Jesus taught the parable of the sower, and he went to explain the meaning in a workers' meeting. So workers are privileged people. Are we together? To gain insight into the plans, the dynamics, they have insight into the mission, the plans, the resources. Are we together? Are we together? Because being a worker in the church, a disciple in the church, that's what I mean by worker, a disciple in the church, being a disciple of a church. I didn't just say in the church again, I said of. So being a disciple in the church, but a disciple of that church, it really, really gives you a privilege. Are we together? Are we together? So special informations reach you. You are more learned about the mission, about the plan, about the goals. You are also more impacted about the troubles that the church is having. Are we together? Because we rely so much on you that way. Yes. Oh yes. So you observe that the details of his resurrection were only given to them. Notice that when Jesus rose from the dead, the only people that he saw, he showed himself, was in the workers' meeting. When he rose from the dead, it was in the workers' meeting that he showed himself. And after showing himself, he even warned them and said they should not tell anybody that he has risen from the dead. Hey! So it wasn't until Acts chapter 2, when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, that the people now publicly heard that he is risen. So many times, you will have access to the secrets of ministry. A special training. Praise God forevermore. I said praise God forevermore. I said praise God forevermore. So you must pay attention to the things that are mentioned to the workers of Jesus. The things he mentioned to the workers. Why? Because they are the people that bear the burdens of the ministry. In local church, they are the people that are concerned. The workers there, they are the people that are concerned about the purpose, the vision, and the meetings of the local church. Glory to God. So he talks to those people, the disciples. The disciples are people that are concerned about the state of things. They are concerned. They are concerned. Why are the chairs in the church not filled? That is the concern of a disciple. Why is my disciple not in the prayer meeting? Or why is my invite rather not in the prayer meeting? Why is my invite not in the teaching service? Those are the concerns of the disciple. Because the concerns of the disciple is to always move the work of God forward. Are we together? Are we together? It is to always move the work of God forward. One of the, what's it called? The sides of the beasts that Ezekiel saw, which John also saw in Revelation, one of the faces of the beast was the face of an ox. The face of an ox. The face of an ox. And, you know, we also saw the beast in Revelation. One of the four faces was the face of an ox. And it's simply referring to a dimension, a nature, a characteristic of the servant of God. Are we together? A characteristic in the service of God is the characteristic of an ox. Amen. Now, if you read your Deuteronomy and your Exodus and your Numbers and your Leviticus very well, you will observe that Israel was instructed to never eat an ox. Are we together? Are we together? To never eat an ox, because it was a sign. It was a sacred symbol to them. A sacred symbol. And one of the things that the ox implies is how God served them. It actually carried a connotation of service. Service. The one who serves, he does not complain, but gets the work done. That's the ox. The one who serves, not complaining, but get the work done. He bears the burden of the ministry, does not complain, and get the work done. And that is a sign, a characteristic of the Lord himself. Are we together? Are we together? The Lord himself, the one who gives himself over to the work, does not complain, bears the burden, and get the work done. Are we together? Are we together? And that is how a disciple is described. So Jesus, in talking to his disciples, will discuss salient matters, because the disciple is concerned with the state of things. The state of things. Are we together? Recently, I employed a staff in my office. So I had to sit her down to orient her. So one of the things I was telling her, when, you know, just this, just a day or two or three ago, I was having this conversation with her. So I was telling her, and I was talking to her about attitude in an organization, attitude that moves the organization forward. So I got to the place, and I made an illustration, and I concluded. So I told her, I said, companies of the world, companies that knows what they are doing, companies, when the moment they observe that they are having challenges and they are not able to pay their staffs, there's what we call downsizing in the corporate world. Am I right? You downsize, because that's his own area. Are we together? Are we together? You downsize. You're downsizing. So one of the things they do is that, oh, they might say that, oh, we don't want to lose any worker. Let's reduce salaries. Anybody that can't take that salary should now go. Or it's a different approach. Different approach. So, but I was not telling her that the first line of staff, that when it comes to relieving them, that you relieve, the first line of staff that you relieve are the staff that all they do is just come to church. Sorry, come to work. Are you me? Execute some works, and then dash out. And when they do that 30 times, it's time to get what? Paid. Are you with me? So the organization is going to sit down and they're going to say, okay, all of these people, how vital is the offices? So in each department, they are going to say, what problem is this person solving? What problem is this person solving? What problem is this person solving? After that, they are going to say, who among these people is quite innovative, brings up ideas, developmental and constructive ideas? Which of them helps us? That if we lose this person, we would have lost more than just a staff. Would have lost a body of intellect and investment. Then they retain those ones. So look at this. What am I saying? A disciple is somebody that is concerned. So I told you, I said the most vital staffs to any organization are the staffs that show what? Concern. Enthusiasm. Someone say enthusiasm. Enthusiasm. Concern. They show concern. They show concern. Concern is different from prognosing. Are we together? Are we together? Prognosing is when it does not concern you. It's not in your office. You are now trying to do it within what you have been called to do. So you are in the music team within what you have been called to the music team, and then you are trying to instruct the usher. Who are you? Are we together? What is a member of the music team doing in the generator house? Do you want to sing the gen on? Amen. And then the usher is trying to project how in that department, in that assignment, are you with me? In that assignment, you know, that's why some of you, they say, so especially these new workers, they've all gone home. Are we together? Is any of them here? These new workers, I said, you know, they are the only ones that allow them to choose. I think one or two other previous. Others did not enjoy that. You go there. Are we together? But look at it. In that area where you are. So if we have been called to the ministry and we have that assignment, you know you were given that assignment. Are you with me? It is no more what? Prognosing. That is acting out of much what? Concern. And being proactive and being initiative. Is it clear, church? When it is not your field, that's prognosing. When it's not your field, that's prognosing. But in that area where is your field, that unit that is your own, there is no prognosis. So we are now talking about the ministry, that since the work of the ministry has been given to us all, in that mission that the church has in common, that assignment that we all have been given, in that assignment, are we together? And then you are concerned. And then you show concern. And then you make imputes. That is a what? That's a responsible desire. Praise God forevermore. So Jesus' words was directed
to the disciples. Let me say a few words from Matthew 9 quickly. Look at your Bibles again. So in 37, he said unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. Observe the background of that statement. He says, he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no what? Shepherd. The word ripto in the Greek. Scattered. Scattered. To be casted down. And it's referred to their spiritual state. Amen. Also implies to have no order. To have no order. We're going to see how shortly. Just give me some 10 more 15 minutes. So look at this. He says they were scattered abroad. That is the background of verse 38. Scattered abroad. Someone say scattered. Someone say scattered. Someone say scattered. Scattered. They were scattered abroad. It means they had no leadership. Or they had no definite leadership. They were scattered abroad. It means that they had no direction. When there is no leadership, there cannot be what? Direction. Are you with me? Are you with me? When there is no leadership, there cannot be what? Direction. That is why when you cannot take instructions, you are going to have the experience of somebody who has no what? Leadership. You will not have what? Direction. Lack of direction is the experience of people without what? Leadership. Are you with me? Are you with me? Without leadership. Lack of direction. So to be scattered means those three things. It means to be without direction. I mentioned that. Secondly, it means to be without what? Leadership. Thirdly, it means to be without vision. No vision. No vision. So vision or purpose. Are we together? Leadership, direction, purpose. What I call vision. No way to go forevermore. The Lord will minister his leadership, his vision. Are we together? And his direction through discipleship. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? Are you with me? Look at me, everyone. Look at me, everyone. When we go out to disciple people, children, are you with me? Yeah. When we go out to disciple people, we are offering them the Lord's vision for their lives. Without which, look at this. When God says that you are scattered, don't fight it. You are really scattered. You are scattered. Because I'm going to show you, maybe on Sunday, I'm going to show you again, that scattered about, are you with me, is illustrative of their spiritual condition. I'm going to show you. Because the person that talks like that in the scriptures is Isaiah. That's Isaiah's specialty. Yes. And I've taught you that already. That's Isaiah's specialty. The Isaiah that talks like that. Scattered about. Scattered about. Scattered about. No purpose. When we go to disciple people, we are ministering God's purpose into their lives. So you are actually helping people when you are trying to get them into the church. Are you with me? Are you with me? You're trying to help people on behalf of the Lord. We are helpers of men on behalf of the Lord. Yes. We are helpers.
say I'm a helper. You are trying to help people. Ministry is helping what? People, serving people. Amen. And then, one of the reality of that help is that the help, are we together? That helping people also makes you vulnerable to them. Yes. Makes you vulnerable. I've brought people into my house before because I'm discipling them, and they stole my things. Yes. I mean meal. They stole my things. Are we together? That's one of the things that ministry makes you vulnerable. And it does not mean that the next person who needs you, what? You shut your book wells. No, it doesn't mean. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. Sometimes, in helping people, it makes you vulnerable. You bring them into your life. Are we together? You bring them into your life. Because you are not exposed to them. You are not exposed to them. That's ministry. It's a reality in ministry. Are we together? There are many things that ministry makes you to be vulnerable of. And God has provisions for that vulnerability so that you don't suffer the vulnerability. Part of the not suffering the vulnerability is the provision of a local church for you and its leadership. Sometimes the reasons why you are not going to be vulnerable to a particular issue is that you told your leader. Did you get it? So we give you wisdom. Because ministry makes you to be what? Vulnerable. Yes. Ministry makes you vulnerable. So, and that's the place of telling your leader. Is it clear? Telling your leader. Informing your leader. Informing your leader. So that they can give you wisdom based on experience. So today, when you just tell me that, sir, there's this brother that I just got saved, and then this and this, and the brother is receptive, and the brother is having this and this, but I observed that on Sunday morning, he has this challenge, he comes from one Urubudubudu village, because he's even failing his academics, he can't make his work, nobody's employing, because he needs accommodation. I'm thinking he can move in with me. Just by telling me that, I now have a compendium of wisdom to tell you, do this. Are we together? Because in order to disciple that brother well and to resolve his challenge, ministry makes us vulnerable. So, but God has provisions for the vulnerability. Are we together? Are we together? So, and that's why part of ministry is that, look at this, you go out to cast out devils and to, you see, and then someone just wants to mess up around you. The devil just wants to mess up around you. It's part of the vulnerability of ministry that you will encounter supernatural forces. Are we together? Are we together? Someone is being troubled by a wizard somewhere, and then you just come, you lay hands on that person, and then the person is healed on the sanity. Are we together? Are we together? Don't think that the person that is troubling that person will just let you go. The reason why you didn't feel anything is because of the believer's authority that you know. Are you with me? And as you walk, those who feel something, they feel it big. Are we together? So look at it. Such kind of vulnerabilities, God has provision. So part of it is the what? Look at it. Okay, don't let me go even far. Don't let me go far. Let's come back to the Ephesians we read. Where was Paul writing from? Was he writing from prison? Was he asking the church to pray for him? What led him into prison? Is that part of the vulnerability of ministry? So you see, but there is a structure that cushions or prevents that vulnerability. So he says, the church, the saints. So don't despise it. Praise the Lord. Embrace it. Say, I embrace the church. Because the church is the company of other disciples. Embrace it. Embrace it. Ministry exposes you. But when you do things rightly, it's as though nothing touches you. Is it clear? Is it clear? You are just always fine. Because you are doing things rightly, not because there are no loopholes. You are doing things rightly. You are in the company of the saints. You are there. You are praying. You are submissive. You are in the meetings. You are praying. When we are having the corporate fast, you are not eating zobo and gala in the morning behind your room. Are we together? We are having the corporate fast. When we are reading the scripture, so you are regarding the structure. So the structure is part of the provisions of God to fill the gap for the vulnerability of ministry. Is it clear, church? So he says to his disciples that they are scattered abroad, as sheep having no what? Shepherd. We said that implies no what? Leadership. So that shows you this, that disciples are characterized. We're looking at Christian discipleship, right? Thank you. So disciples are characterized with leadership, direction, and purpose. Praise God forevermore. Purpose. Vision. That's what I mean by purpose. Vision is a characteristic of a disciple. Are we together? What is a characteristic of a goat? The characteristic of a goat is that it's going to have horn, right? Right? And it will be stubborn. So when you have horn and you are stubborn, nobody needs to tell us that what? This is a what? A goat. Are you with me? So therefore, look at me. If you want to become a goat, just get what? Horn and become what? Stubborn. Is it clear? Is it clear? That. So if you look at a disciple, there are characteristics. A disciple has leadership in his life. Are we together? So man in the image of God is not expected to function without leadership. Man in the image of God will function by leadership. God wants to lead you. Are you with me? Say, God wants to lead me. Say, God wants to lead me. You are not saying, say, God wants to lead me. So look at this church. When it says scattered about, it means there is no God leadership in their words, in their lives. You get it? Someone in whose life there is no godly leadership. Someone that is not following God's leadership in his life is described as what? Scattered abroad. Amen. Amen. Scattered abroad. No leadership. No direction. No purpose. We must begin to imagine the state of the people we are called to disciple. Are we together? The life of a disciple is characterized with purpose, leadership, and direction. So Christian discipleship provides purpose through vision. The things I'm teaching you this morning are meant to be taken to your private moments. And you take 40 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours to meditate on it and to pray. Because as you meditate and pray over these things I'm teaching you, you are going to sense and discover a heightening of the grace of God upon your life that will make the work more possible and faster. But if all you do is just write and go home and make money and join your friends and watch movies and do other things, it will not really bless. Praise God forevermore. Christian discipleship provides what? Purpose. Through what? Vision. It provides direction through instructions. And provides leadership through teaching. And trainings. Are you with me? So Matthew 9 describes the status of the people as sheep having no shepherd. A phrase that we are going to find in the Old Testament books. A phrase. Let's journey the Old Testament books and then we'll close today. Is it clear? So I'll build on it on Sunday. Are you learning something? In any profession, the very first thing they do is to help the people to see the need for it. So carrying out the work of the ministry effectively cannot be without a sound understanding of the problem you are solving. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? And you can see the body with which Jesus is talking about it in Matthew 9. He was talking to people that were... The Bible says he was moved with compassion on them. So what Jesus was saying was not that, it was just, you know, there's a way you can just be gisting, you know. Let's say I'm walking with Brother David and just say, harvest is plenty. Liberals are few. Let's just pray God of harvest too. No, that's not what he's saying. No. You're already going back on that. Harvest plenty, God. A lot of people need salvation. It's fine, sha. No, that doesn't happen. He turned to his disciples. He was moved with compassion. This is a burden. Look at this. To show you that it was a serious issue, look at Matthew 10. The next thing he did was that he now sent them out. Did you get it? So what you are reading in Matthew 9 is not a statement he made. It was a meeting. Are you with me? It was a meeting he had with them. It was a meeting. So it wasn't that something that happened after a special meeting. He just said, No. It was a meeting he had with them. He was moved with compassion. That means he. So look at what he did. Look at what he did. Jesus saw a corporate mission and he built a structure around it. So the structure is what you are now seeing. He now sends out outreach groups. Two by what? Two. Did you see that? So he sent them out two by two. Outreach group. Outreach group. Then he now says later that they came back to him, right? Right? See, they didn't come back that same day. It wasn't that they went to that church at 9. You now came at 11. And there are demons are subject. No. They went on mission. That's why he told them, he says, whosoever house you was, you enter. He wasn't saying that when you knock and you sit down on their stool to talk to them for 10 minutes. No. He's saying that as you go and enter into different cities of Jerusalem, people will provide you accommodation. So they went out possibly for weeks. Are you with me? To do the work of the ministry. Interior, tedious work. So they now came back and gave him accounts. Is it clear? Is it clear? So what Jesus did here is tantamount to sending a brother to Ghana, sending another to Abuja, sending someone to Lagos. Because we observe the chaos in the environment. Are we together? Are we together? Then we get a consistent report. So it is the work of discipleship we are reading in Matthew 9. Which is what I'm going to talk about next week. Are we together, church? Are we together? So he wasn't just a statement in passing. He was moved with compassion. He saw a need. Then he created a structure. A corporate assignment. A structure. Then he sends them out two by two. He says, sheep having no shepherd. Numbers 27, quickly. Watch those texts are close. Numbers 27.
in verse 17. Everyone, I want you there. Everyone. Numbers 27 and then 17. If you are there, say amen. Okay, so if you are there, let us read together. Verse 17, want to go. Before then, what do we have? Can we see verse 16? Everyone, want to go. Let the Lord, the God of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, 17, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them. Which may lead them out, which may bring them. Is that leadership? Someone say leadership. Someone say leadership. That means it tells them when, where, how. Amen. Look at the next statement. It says that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man who is wisdom, who is spirit rather, and lay thine hands upon him. Are we together? So God is present, yet he said a man is not present. How? God is present, yet he said a man is not present. God is present, yet he said there's a challenge. And the challenge is that a man is not present. The one who will be as a shepherd. So you see, the will of God is that his congregation, his sheep, will not be without a shepherd. Hallelujah. In 1 Kings again, 1 Kings 22, and then in verse 17. 1 Kings 22, and then verse 17. If you are there, you can read with me. Hallelujah. It says, and he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Someone say master. The word master there is the word leader. Leader or a word teacher. No master. Let them return every man to his what? House in peace. No master. I can't walk with them because there is no teacher. Hallelujah. Second Chronicles chapter 18 and then in verse 16. Second Chronicles 18, verse 15. And the king said unto him, how many times that I judge thee, and thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord. 16. Then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountain as sheep that have no shepherd. The Lord said, they have no master, let them return every man to his house in peace. I cannot walk with them because there is no shepherd. Next book to that is, you know, in Ezekiel. We see Ezekiel 34 and then in verse 5. Again, the need for a shepherd. It says in verse 4, these have they all brought strength in, neither have they healed that which was sick, neither have you bound that which was broken. If you start from verse 1, it says that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, again, we said the word there is word dabar. So this was the Lord himself communicating his mission to Ezekiel. 2, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord unto the shepherds, woe be unto thee, shepherds of Israel that do not feed themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flock? So write something there. Say feed the flock. Write it in your notes. Feed the flock. Write it in your notes. 3, you eat the fat. You clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed. It says, but you feed not the flock, for the disease have you not strengthened. Write in your notes. Say strengthen the disease. Neither have you healed that which was sick. Write in your notes, say, heal the sick. Neither have you bound that which was broken. Write in your notes, say, bind the broken. It says, neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Write in your notes, say, restore the lost. It says, neither have you sought that which was lost. Write in your notes, say, seeking the lost. Then it says, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. Write your notes. Say, rule with compassion. Verse 5. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. But he was writing to the shepherd. Are we together? Observe that he was prophesying to the shepherd. So how will he prophesy to the shepherd and say there is no shepherd? That means the shepherd's office is not being filled. You get it? How will you say prophesy to the shepherd
And the prophecy is that there is no shepherd. Are we together? So the issue is not that there were no human figures called shepherds or who should stand in the office. The reason is because the office is not being what? Occupied. So the shepherd is an office. We'll get there. Patiently. We'll keep moving. We'll get there. The shepherd is an office. Glory to God forevermore. He's an office. In verse 5 then, he says, and they were scattered because there was no shepherd. So write in your notes, say, gather the shepherd. Gather the scattered. Gathering the scattered. Are we together? Then he says, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were what? Scattered. Are we together? Meat to the beast of the field talks about being susceptible and vulnerable to all forms of deceptive schemes. Ephesians 4 says, lying in wait to deceive. Are we together? Cunning craftiness of men. Amen. Amen. Definitely, Paul was teaching Ephesians 6 from this text. Are we together? So look at that. In verse 6, my sheep wandered through all the mountains. Did you see that? Through all the mountains. That means a major sign of discipleship is dependency. Dependency. Dependency and focus. The sheep wandering about all the mountains speaks of a man that seeks to fend for himself or for his soul. God's plan is that you will not have to fend for your own soul. Is it clear? Is it clear? So he makes there to be provision. So rather than having to fend for your own soul, rather than having to fend for your own soul, so he makes a provision. He makes a provision. Praise God forevermore. He makes a provision. Jeremiah 34 verse 5. He makes a provision for the one that wanders about. And that provision is the shepherd. Let you know, say, I am God's provision. Are we together? You are God's provision. Don't forget that the second emphasis of our song this morning. You are God's provision. See, I know you are trusting God for provision. You are also already a provision in another context. Are you with me? Now look at me. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. I'm trusting God for provision. Has He reached me? Have I received it until He gets to me? It took you 2 seconds to come back. So come back now. So listen to this. I'm trusting God for what? Provision, right? I'm trusting God for provision. So, as the provision, have I received the provision until that provision gets to me? Have I? If the provision has not gotten to me, have I received it? Huh? So, if I'm expecting provision, I'm trusting God for provision, I have received it because it got to where I am, right? It got to me. So you are God's provision until you are present with the scattered. Are we together? Your purpose is not fulfilled. If you are God's provision, then your site of relevance, are you with me? Is where the what? The scattered is. So he told them, he says, you have no sought. So I ask you to write, seeking the what? The lost. Are you with me? He said, you have not sought the lost. So part of my work is seeking. Someone says seeking. So look at me. There's what we call seeking activities. Sheep seeking activities. To seek the sheep. A sheep seeking activity. That is your relevance. See, I know who I am. So that's it. That's your relevance. A sheep seeking activity. Sheep seeking activity. sheep-seeking engagement, are we together? Is our corporate mission. So Jesus says, go into all the world and what? Seek the lordship. Is a someone say corporate mission. Someone say a corporate assignment. All of us, we get that one common. Is it clear, church? So, don't forget our root text is Matthew 9. It's a beauty, you know. So he reads on. Look at what it says. He says, my sheep wander through all the mountains. Why? And upon every hill. That is Christians. Different churches. Are we together? Grazing, is that what grazing is? No, that's not even grazing. Because in grazing, someone is leading you. Are we together? That one is scavenging, thank you. That's scavenging. One man, 1 month, 10 churches. Are we together? 1 month, 10 churches. Someone said no. So it shows you that part of the sheep to bring in are even Christians that move about aimlessly. They are also considered lost. There's a primary significance of that word lost sheep. But in its applicative sense, Christians who roam about other places, are we together? Are also qualified as a lost sheep to bring them, to seek them. Every hill, every mountain. Are we together? To seek them. Amen. So look at this. He says, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did what? Search or seek after them. Are we together? So, soul searching and soul seeking activities. Engagements is part of the Matthew 9 vision. Are we together? So when Jesus comes to you and he decides to use the words of Matthew 9, this is the text he's talking from. He's talking from here. So when Jesus says, laborers are few, you can't know the meaning of laborers in Matthew 9. And Matthew 10 is not enough to know. Even though Matthew 10 gives you insight, what were the laborers now doing preaching? But should in case you think that they just started preaching because they wanted to preach. No. The text he's talking from will show you that what he sent them out to do was not something they found doing, was rather what they ought to. That was how to do the work. As I will look at the text. Are you with me? Are you with me? So look at in verse 12. What did he say? As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are what? Scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Are we together? In verse 23, he says, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. So write in your note, feeding the flock. You've written it before, right? Write it again. And he shall feed them, and my servant David, and he shall feed them. You know, you must have in your notes, by the time you are writing your notes, Are we together? What you wrote in your notes must contain a grid of emphasis as what you have read. Thank you. So look at this. He says, even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their what? Shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Are we together, church? So you see, this is the work of the laborer. Look at Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. After that, Ezekiel, you see Daniel, then you see Hosea, then you see Joel, then you see Amos. Amos chapter 3, and then verse 12. He says, hear ye and testify, 12. Thus hear the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs, or a piece of an ear, so that the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of the bed, and in Damascus in the what? In the couch. Are we together? In other words, the shepherd seeks to rescue the sheep no matter what is left of it. Are you with me? So look at me, everybody. Look at me. Nobody is too depraved, to be saved. Nobody. The beast has chewed the animal, but the shepherd says, give me the ear. He didn't say, OTJ, Magbelo. He collects it from the lion. He rescues the two legs, the remains. Are we together? If you look at the context of those texts, you observe that God was describing what he will do to Israel from the people that have scattered his sheep everywhere. Many nations have come and are taking Israel, and some people will even now come and take the nations that took Israel. A stronger nation will come to take them captive. Then another stronger nation will come and take that nation that took Israel captive. So your servant, and you will not be servants. So that has led to Israel being scattered about. God is now saying, I will bring about an exodus. I told you exodus is a theme, right? In the scriptures. I will bring about another exodus. I will restore my... So the same way the shepherd does not even leave the remains of his flock in the mouth of the bear and the wolf and the lion and the eagle that is preying on it, I will take them out. There is nobody that is too depraved to believe the gospel. We have disciples in everyone. There is nobody that cannot become a disciple of Jesus. Praise God forevermore. There is nobody. No, look at this. You can see how effective your work is. After a while, aeronautic schools, they will tell you, no, we are sorry. We can't enroll you again into our school. Mainly because now you are 30 years old. After a while, the U.S. military, they will say, we are sorry, you can't join the army again. Maybe now you are 40. What do we want to do with a 40-year-old man in the military? We need 17 years old. Are we together? That's why those aeronautic schools, the students, when they recruit, they give admission to their students, they admit students of 15 years old. You know, your university card, you say that. Jambu say that, no, we are not taking 15 years old. We are not taking 14, 40 or 20 years. See, those aeronautic schools, they give their admissions to 12-year-old, 13-year-old. Because they believe that the period that they can put the most strategic and most important information into your brain is when you don't have life cares. You are not thinking of an husband. You are not thinking of a wife. You are not thinking about children that are not eating. You are not thinking about a salary that you are not paid or your upkeep. So they bring them out at tiny, tiny little age, and they start teaching them the basics of flying aircrafts at that tender age. Are we together? The same with some IT schools like coding. They have started training kids 10 years old, 9 years old, 8 years old, coding. Start coding and preparing them for a great future in the IT. Are we together? So after a while, even your banks now today, even your banks today, your banks will tell you, hey, they will put it there in the job role, not less than. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. So that's the word. But see, in your own assignment and ministry, there is nobody. Hallelujah. It's an all-relevant mission. Nobody is too old. Nobody is too young. Nobody is too sinful. Nobody is too affected by his sinful nature. Nobody is too affected by his sinful conduct. Nobody is too gone. Nobody is too dull. Nobody is too suppressed. Nobody is too scattered. Nobody is too weary. Nobody is too devout. Are we together? Nobody is too devout. Nobody is too weary. Nobody is too blind. Nobody is too deaf that cannot be restored. Hallelujah. And saved. Hallelujah. And filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And trained. Hallelujah. And sent out to reach others. That is the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. All are welcome. All are welcome. That is discipleship. That is discipleship. So Amos 3 said, nothing is too spoiled. Ha! What you baje koja be? Not in the ministry. We have a tool that will bind the most broken. Praise God. It will bind the most broken. Praise God forevermore. So it does not matter how deep anybody has gone in any whatsoever. The Lord is a restorer. He is a healer. Hallelujah. Look at Zechariah 10 again. Zechariah 10. Are you learning something? Alright. Are you learning something? Zechariah 10. See, I know who I am. Zechariah 10, verse 2. So go over this text and begin to see yourself in those texts. Are you with me? You meditate, you pray. Take a fast and meditate and pray. Spend 3-hour stretch, 5-hour stretch in solitude. Switch off your phone or put it in offline and put on the music and meditate and pray in the Holy Ghost over all these texts. As you think through it and you see your ministry rearing at you. Hallelujah. In Zechariah 10, in verse 2, he says, for the idols have spoken vanity. The diviners have seen a lie and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there is no word. Shepherd. Hallelujah. God's shepherd. So in front of everything that you wrote, feed the flock, bind the brokenhearted, bind the this, build the this, go after this, seek the this, search for that, everything you have written, are we together? Are we together? Find a way to indicate in your notes and put me there or myself, or you write your name there. You know, you can put a bracket to collect everything with an arrow and write your name there. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Anybody that handles your note in your absence and sees your jottings should be able to look you in the face when you are back and relearn who you are. You know, when you are trying to relearn somebody, you look at them in their face again, as though you have not seen their face before. You look again. Yes. The person sees your note and relearns it. The person should immediately catch a glimpse of why you are living the way you are living and you are so focused on the ministry. Just by seeing your note and what's there. Yeah. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
So in Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord is my what? Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. That means that the Lord is the one who occupies that office of a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Are we together, church? The Lord is my shepherd. That's what David said. The Lord is my shepherd. If David is called the shepherd of Israel, and David says the Lord is my shepherd, that means David is saying that I have mirrored the Lord in my shepherding work. So we mirror the Lord. David calls himself the laborer of the Lord by calling the Lord his shepherd. In Psalm 80 verse 1, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that lead Joseph like a flock. I'm reading Psalms 80 verse 1. Thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. So the shepherd of Israel is the Lord himself. That is God's office. God's office. Jeremiah.
I made a mistake there. I was pointing you to Jeremiah, right? Sorry. I was supposed to point you to Ezekiel.
It just occurred to me now. Jeremiah. In my mind all the while, it's Jeremiah that is there. Are we together? So, Jeremiah now. Jeremiah 31. And then verse 30. Jeremiah 31, 30. Praise God. Jeremiah 31, 30. Tell your neighbor, say, open to Jeremiah. Tell your neighbor, say, open to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31, verse 30. What's there, everyone? Let's read together. No. Look at verse 10. Verse 10. Let's read together. Everyone, let's read together. So there is also soul gathering activities. Soul gathering activities. You gather them. Gather them. That means the sheep will not function outside the gathering. Are you with me? Thank you. So Isaiah 40. I'll stop there for today. Isaiah 40 verse 11. Glory to God forevermore. Isaiah 40 verse 11. What does he say? He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. So you can say that, you know, the primary work of a shepherd is what? But did you, to feed the sheep. But did you observe that he must first of all have a sheep? How does he have a sheep? By seeking them. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with what? With the young. Are we together? Are we together? Isaiah 40 verse 11. So the work of a shepherd, which we're going to see in Ephesians 4 with time, the pastor, the word poor, amen? The pastor. Acts 20, 28, to feed the sheep. Acts 21, 15 to 17, feed my flock. Poimano. It is a work. An activity, not a title. Say that over and over. It's a work, not a title. It's an activity, not a seat. What is done? It is something you are engaged with. Pray for me close. So Jesus is sending out his disciples in Matthew 9. Are you with me? Are you with me, church? He sends out his disciples in Matthew 9. And look at this. Sending them out in Matthew 9 is therefore to do the work of a shepherd.
So the laborer in Matthew 9 is a what? Is who? Is who? Is the shepherd. Praise God forever. So why did he use the word laborer? Why did he say the shepherds are few? Yes, he already said scattered. Our sheep have been a what? Shepherd. Then it says the laborers are few. So look at this. The job description is to look for people who will toil at the work. A laborer. The word laborer is used because you will toil at the work. Toil. You toil at the work. Amen. So the Lord is with you. Paul said in 2 Timothy, how the Lord strengthened him, having been left by many others. He spoke about the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 15. He spoke about the grace of God which had made him who he was, laboring more abundantly than they all. The grace of God. Are we together? So look at me, church. The grace of God is to toil with. To toil with it. The grace of God. The grace of God is so that we can exert ourselves to the work. To toil with it. Toiling means you will sweat at it. Toiling means you will go back to it. Toiling means you will take a pause, return to it. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Toiling means that you will attend to trainings in order to succeed at the work. Toiling. Toiling means you will go hungry because of it. Toiling means you might have to pass relationships because of it. Toiling means you might have to put up with some things, not to enjoy some things at a particular time because of it. Toiling means you might have to hold on for the kind of life you want to live because of it. You might even not end up living. You might end up living, not living rather. You might end up not living that kind of life. That's toiling. Toiling. Laborers. Are we together? And Jesus was the first laborer we saw. We're going to explore that in the coming week. Are we together, church? So, he calls their work that of a shepherd. Can we use the word discipler? Thank you. That walk, he called it the walk of a disciple. So discipleship is doing the work of a shepherd on behalf of the Lord of the sheep. A shepherd, an Old Testament word. Are we together? An Old Testament terminology. That the hearers of Jesus knew what he meant when he used the word shepherd. They knew what he meant. So when he sent them out in Matthew 10, they knew exactly what they were going to do. Because when he used the language, he used the word shepherd, they knew exactly what he was saying. Just like the Ezekiel 34. Are we together? You observe that we read seeking the sheep, searching the sheep. Is that evangelism? Is that evangelism? Searching the sheep. Is that evangelism? Seeking the sheep. Is that evangelism? To seek them. That is outreach. That means the first job of a shepherd is to seek the sheep. And if this is a corporate work, right? That means the first mission of the church is to what? Look at me. The first mission of the church is not to teach. The first mission of the church is to what? Is to seek the lost. It is when we have sought the lost that we will have somebody to teach. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? So as much as teaching is important, I need to reach out to the what? To the lost. To reach out. To reach out. So you cannot call yourself a member of an assembly and then you are not on evangelism with us. And if the work of the evangelism requires that we pray, and again, labor, toil at prayer, if the work of evangelism requires that we toil in the place of prayer, then you cannot be a member of the church and you are not in the prayer meeting. Prayer meeting, evangelism meeting. Then you now bring the person that through prayer you have evangelized to what? To the teaching meetings. Are we together? Don't forget, I told you something about healing meetings. I said the healing meeting is linked to all these meetings, right? You can get them healed outside. You can bring them in to be healed. Are we together, sir? So soul seeking and sheep searching activities is the first job of a shepherd. Are we together, church? To seek them, look at what he calls it, in the dark places. Smoker's joint is a dark place. A gambling stand is a dark place. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? A robber's den is a dark place. A prostitute brothel is a dark place. A corner for people aimlessly to relax and just waste their time and day and talk smut is a dark place. Drug addict habit is a dark place. Womanizing and manizing, are we together? I mean my grandma, is a dark place. Are we together? And that is where the sheep of God is. That is where the sheep is. That is where the sheep is. That is where the sheep. So God wants you and I to go into hostels. Go into yourself. Are we together? Knock on the gate. Yeah. In our adubo, they don't have like that. Yeah. Ah, we can't. Ah, you can't do houses like that. Yeah. Oh. I was telling me that. Ah, in my city, you can't do like that. Yeah. Oh. You know, in your place, the houses are built. Say, yeah. Everywhere is fenced. Everywhere. Knock the house. Enter. Are we together? Are we together? Knock the gate. Enter. Hello. If he says no, okay, I'll be back tomorrow. Hello, you. Can I share God's word with you? Yes, God. I won't take your time. Even though you take 2 hours, you know. I won't take your time. And then he says, yeah, sit down. And then you explain. In explaining, you announce his sin. You announce the solution of the Lord. But yeah, don't tell them they are sinners. So you tell them what? They are righteous. No, you are not righteous. But I've come. Because Christ came to make you righteous. Then having gotten them saved, are we together? That shall lead them in. Bring them into the church. No, they are. It's evangelism that churches should be doing, not announcing their churches. So what should they announce? A mosque? What should they announce? Should we announce a mosque? Or we take them to a traditional herbalist temple? No. Your church! Bring them into your church. Because that is where you are sure they will be fed under your watch. They will be overseen under your watch. You will not assume under your watch. They will grow. They will be nurtured. He says he searches out and brings them. We're going to see John 10 next week. That Jesus himself calls himself the shepherd that brings his sheep in and out. In and out. And he has called you and I on that corporate mission. He says, have the work of the Lord. I have the work of the Lord. See, I have the mission of the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we together? And the walk is not drifting away. It's not drifting away. Not in the light of natural needs is not drifting away. Not in the light of societal pressures is not drifting away. Not in the light of growth in my own life and business in the natural things. It is not drifting away. I hang in there. I stay true to it. I stay faithful. I stay with it. I don't drift away. Nothing steals me away from his plan. So we're going to take that song again. Are we together, church? Say the grace of God is with me. Through the month of October, the hand of God is upon my ministry. I will have more disciples. I will help more people to know the Lord. I will seek more sheep. And I will find more sheep. And I will lead them in. And I will establish them. And I will feed God's Lord. Hallelujah. And there's grace for it. We have the grace of God. We have the grace of God. Let's have that song. Yes.
I can hold fast
to the world. That song from your heart.
It will not drift away.
Yes, it will not drift away.
So I stand firm.
given me, it will not dream.